As I come to share just a little bit of God's Word this evening, I was reminded of a fellow who set off to walk across the United States. And as he completed his task, he was interviewed and asked, "What was the biggest challenge that you faced in your task to do that, to walk that far?" And the people expected to hear him respond about the mountains or the badlands, but his response caught people off guard. He said, "The one thing that almost caused me to quit was sand in my shoes." Amazing enough, sometimes it's the little things that are the determining factor of us going ahead or falling back. The Bible mentions several little things that can cause us great trouble in our lives and in our spiritual growth. And this evening I'd like to focus on one of them, and that is identified in the Songs of Solomon as little foxes. It's in Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. The Song of Solomon is a love song between Solomon and his bride, speaking of the joys of wedded life and its tender expression of intimate delights of wedded love. Even if that was all that was, it would be worth a place in God's Word, as marriage was ordained by God. Genesis 2:22-24 says, "And God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" Marriage is such a high and exalted thing in the eyes of God. And it's the example in which God has given to us as to our relationship with Him, that marriage union. There's no closer relationship that we enjoy on this earth between one another that is higher than the relationship between husband and wife. However, both Jews and Christians see this book, Songs of Solomon, with a deeper meaning, with a deeper influence. The Jews see this as referring to the Exodus, where God espoused Israel to himself as his bride. And Christians have quite commonly regarded this as speaking of the relationship between Christ and the church, which is identified in several places in the New Testament as his bride. And my intention is not to consider this book as its whole or the contents of it, but to draw your focus to this one little passage in this love song and hopefully glean some valuable counsel from it. And this verse reads like this: "Catch the little foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyard, while our vineyards are in blossom." Seems like a strange verse, but in understanding this situation, foxes in the vineyard are exceedingly destructive. The food of this animal is not merely flesh, but honey and fruit. Particularly, according to the research that I did, grapes. And the young foxes not merely devour the fruit, but by their activity destroy as much of the vineyard as they do rob it of its fruit. The habit of a fox is increasing in its mischief. For instead of roaming, as some animals, the fox defines its territory. It chooses a den, it chooses a cave at a convenient distance of places where it can meet its needs. Its needs can be provided. And from there, it exercises its acuteness and ingenuity in the capture of whatever is fitting for its need. The hunger of the fox gives breath to its mischief, and its cunningness makes building defense against it almost impossible. And so it can destroy a vineyard as it has access to it. Last year, I planted a pear tree. This pear tree was no ordinary pear tree because the tags on it said it would produce 5 different kinds of pears. And I thought, oh, how cool is that? And in my research, I found out the pears, there's a lot of bugs that leave pears alone. And so I wouldn't have to care for it the way if it was a cherry tree or a peach tree and trying to keep other things away from it. And I thought, this is the perfect fruit for me. Besides, I enjoy pears. And as I watched the spring, as everything was coming back to life, I saw no life in my pear tree. And I tried to care for it, and I was checking it out, and nothing. And then I noticed that something, and I don't know if it was mice or a rabbit, that had eaten all the way around the bottom of the pear tree. And so I'm not going to get 5 different kinds of pears out of this pear tree. In fact, there is a shoot that has come up from below where this thing is eaten, but it's below the splice. And so I'm assuming that if they're going to have to graft a pear, different variety of pears into a tree, it has to be a pear tree. Now, maybe my assumption is wrong on that, but I have been nurturing this shoot. And I'm hoping that I will get something from this, but I haven't a clue what kind of, if any of those kind of pear trees it will be, if indeed it is a pear tree. But things can destroy what we try to care for. And it was obvious that Solomon was concerned for his vineyard, and the foxes were having access to his vineyard, and he wanted them removed. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom. As both Israel and the church is compared to the vine, in Scripture, those need to be, that there needs to not, this need not to be a decisive point. Yet the context of it is, the context of this is talking about wedded love. So, what is the function of a vineyard? It is a place of tranquility, becoming very popular with the current trends of pergolas and having a vine grow up and fill in the pergolas, and it's supposed to be just, I guess it compares with different kinds of vines or roses and grapes. And we were involved in a wedding, and it was one of those over-the-top kind of weddings. And they built a pergola on the platform, and they had all these pillars all over the place, and they had grapevines, artificial with artificial grapes, but they were it was really spectacular, and I was amazed at how they went to so much effort of presenting it with all this. You were walking into a vineyard, and I guess they were looking for some kind of a presentation, and they got married under this pergola with all these plastic things. They are charming to the landscape, and so people build their houses when they have these gorgeous views before them. But the real value of a vineyard is its fruit. In Seaforth, in our backyard, we had a climbing thing for the kids. It came with the house. We did not put it in there. And there was two stairs that went up, and then, you know, those hanging things that go between the swing things. And I planted two different kinds of grapes at the base of each one of these. I did that without my wife's consent. And she said, what if the grandchildren want to play on that? And I kind of did, well, then if they want to do that, fine, we can move the grapes. And they never did. And these grapes grew well. The vines grew well. And so they pretty much covered this whole thing. But I had a real hard time getting it to produce any fruit. And then someone says it takes years to be able to get a vine to produce fruit. And so I, okay, well, we can give it years. And there was one year where it just seemed to be loaded with potential grapes. And I thought, maybe this is the year. And then before I knew it, there was a dove that built its nest right in the midst of my grapevines. And before I noticed it, she had eggs already in her nest. And so I couldn't protect the vineyard, the grapes by covering it with a netting because the birds are in there now. And that was the only year it was going to produce anything. It went back dead again. Or not dead, it just wasn't going to produce. It was a frustration. And so when we moved here, kind of, well, I'm going to try again. And so I bought two grape plants and put them right alongside the fence. And they both survived the transplant, but one of them didn't survive the lawnmower. And I don't know. Anyway, enough. I don't know how that's going to go, but we'll see. What is the fruit of God's vineyard? Well, I think all of us would agree it's a holy life. He desires that there be justice and mercy and devotion and praise and worship in his children. That we be an effective witness, evidencing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But what about the fruit of a faithful, God-fearing home? There would be peace, contentment, joy, companionship, a working together, dreams and plans, love and laughter, security and genuine care, just to name a few. And these things can be in jeopardy if the garden is not properly guarded and protected. If the foxes have access to the vineyard, it seems obvious that to get rid of the fox, it first has to be addressed, it has to be identified, it has to be located, and it has to be caught. As we talked about earlier, foxes, even little foxes, are crafty and cunning. They demand our attention when there's evidence that they are there. In the church, what are foxes? That include dramatic things, obvious things, false doctrine, bullying, abuse of power, immorality, tolerating a wrong. But there can also be little things that threaten the health of the body, can threaten the health of a vineyard. A little lie, an outburst of anger, an act of disobedience or gossip, envy, compromise. Because of such destruction, God's word puts certain qualifications that are required for leadership in his church, listed in both Timothy and in Titus. But what about the home? What are some of the things that can destroy a home, that can undermine a home? Sometimes there are obvious things that cannot be overlooked, that cannot be tolerated. Abuse and infidelity, fits of anger and dishonesty. But there can also be little things that can threaten the harmony of a home, like keeping secrets, lack of forgiveness, criticism, inconsistent, inconsiderate actions. We may be even able to justify, oh, these aren't so bad. They're just little things, questionable things that we know ought not to be there. And we may even justify, well, my reputation or my marriage can handle this. If, in fact, I wonder if anyone even knows or even cares. And from an onlooker's perspective, the garden might look good. But there may very well be little things that are drastically affecting, maybe even destroying, the fruit. And furthermore, God knows. I'm not saying that if we sin, we're finished. Praise the Lord for his forgiveness. And he commands us to forgive as well. But let us not fool ourselves in thinking our harmful or hurtful actions don't matter. They do. They do matter. And they do make a difference. Wouldn't it be so much better to live in such a way that we need not be concerned about being caught, of living our lives so that we are a blessing and encouragement to those with whom we share life, particularly our spouse. Also realize little foxes can grow to be major trouble, unmanageable trouble, harmful. The remedy for such things is they must be identified, taken out, and destroyed. Search them out by prayer, by self-examination, by open conversation with your spouse. God does not desire for them to remain, nor would your spouse, nor should we. God's ways are wonderful, and there is something so rich where families are living in peace and blessing of God. Let us get rid of those foxes and see what fruit appears. It's such a small passage. Get rid of the foxes that are in the vineyard. They're destroying the vineyard. He's talking about this wonderful relationship that he's having with his bride. But he recognized that there's a problem. Be aware of the problems as they would evidence themselves in your homes. And address them. Deal with them. Exterminate them. That there might be wonderful fruit that continues to be evident in our homes.